Just landed in NC, and on Earthang, it ain't felt this great to be home in a minute. It's like the air better or something.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Bball. Today it's the first episode for 2019. We're going to be breaking down all of the action from New Year's Day and previewing a 9-game Wednesday in the NBA. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it indeed.
You know where we always start, and I think this one's pretty obvious. No one's going to have any surprises here.
Monstrous line of the night.
It goes to Yusuf Nurkic of the Portland Trailblazers, who had the very rare, so rare in fact that it's never happened before, the 2020 5x5 game. 24 points, 23 rebounds, and then 7 assists, 5 steals, and 5 blocks. He was also 50% from the field and 88% from the line on 16 attempts. The only thing he didn't do was hit a 3. That is one of the best lines you will ever see in fantasy basketball. Just an absolutely stunning performance from Nurkic. 5x5s are rare enough, and that's the second one we've had this season. And then to add a 2020 game on top of it is absolute nonsense from Yusuf Nurkic, and that is obviously a fantastic performance. He has been, look, he started off the season a little bit shaky, but he has been really, really strong of late. The minutes push up. There are times when they get limited in blowout-type scenarios, but he is a top 30 player over the last month, pushing towards the top 40 over the course of the season. He's got his free throws back on track. He was a 63% free throw guy last year. He's up to 75 now. We've heard him threatening for years. Oh, you know, the improvement's there. We see it in preseason, then it disappears in the regular season. Well, now it's stuck. He's blocking shots. He's getting rebounds. His assists are really strong as well, way up on last season, where they're at 1.8. Now they're at 3 per game and over 4 over the last month. He is really rolling at the moment, Nurk, and there's no reason that he is not going to be a top 50 guy for the remainder of the season. So a huge night for Nurkic, and he captures the monstrous line of the night.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night, and also the
young gun of the night
goes to the same bloke, and that is Malik Beasley. Actually, you know what? I just realized that Malik Beasley isn't actually eligible for the young gun because it's his third season, and that is a that is not ideal for me to screw that up. I will let's see who the actual young gun should have been. That is really disappointing for me to get that wrong. Let's go through who the actual young gun should have been in a second. It's going to be Bogdanovic. So we'll go back to Bogdan there. That's a disappointing performance for me. But let's talk waiver wire anyway. Let's talk Malik Beasley of the Denver Nuggets, who has been putting up career best numbers. In fact, this was a career high in scoring for Beasley, playing 30 minutes in this game with 23 points, 5 triples, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. He got more minutes than Monty Morris in this game. Even with the return of Gary Harris, Beasley was putting up, you know, a huge, huge performance, and he has been, you know, super strong lately. In fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 35 player. 29 minutes, 18 points, 3 threes a game. It's not coming on stupid percentage numbers. 47 from the field, 44 from 3. They're big. They're not crazy big, though. Like, he's not shooting 58% from 3 or anything along those lines. The biggest concern we have is, you know, Harris back at full minutes, Will Barton back into the rotation. If Isaiah Thomas is actually still alive, how are those guys going to affect Beasley? But this was fantastic. And he's available in about 80% of leagues at the moment, 84% of Yahoo leagues. 16 teamers. I'd have a look. I don't know how this is going to go with his playing time moving forward. It's hard to find, you know, where the minutes fit in. But with the way he's playing at the moment, his last 4 games, 22-7 with 4 triples, 22-3 with 2 triples, 15 with 5 triples, and then 23 with 5 triples today and 5 assists. So really knocking down the 3 ball at an elevated rate, putting up sensational fantasy numbers. And he's a guy that until Harris's minutes push back up and until Barton returns, Malik Beasley looks like he's got 12-team value. It's really short term, of course, but man, that is a very, very impressive performance from Malik Beasley to gain himself the waiver wire line of the night. The deep leaguer of the night goes to Seth Curry of the Portland Trailblazers. Curry played 22 minutes and had 18 points, 4 triples with 3 steals, only took 9 shots, but he hit 6 of those shots to put up Another strong game. That's a couple of decent games over the last few from Seth. In fact, over his last six games, he's had three games of at least three triples. At this point, though, he really is just a three-point streaming option for your 16 to 18 team leagues, but he's available. He's available in 98% of Yahoo leagues, so he's around for any of those deeper formats. And he looks more himself after missing all of last season with that leg injury. He's starting to get back in business now, putting up some stronger numbers, taking minutes away from Sauce Castillo, Nick Stauskas, and we're seeing Curry become that dependable third guard off the bench when early in the season it was Stauskas who was fulfilling that role. Now we go on to the Young Gun of the Night.
Young Gun of the Night.
And it is not Malik Beasley, so ignore that graphic. It is, in fact, Bogdan Bogdanović of the Sacramento Kings. Bogdan played 36 minutes, had 19, 5, and 5 with 3 steals and 3 triples. Didn't shoot the ball well, 37% from the field, but he has been really, really strong this season. He's still available in 25% of leagues, and he is a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks. I think he'll finish this season as a top 100 guy. He's a must-roster 12-team league guy, and he's a must-roster 10-team league guy, in my opinion, as well. Maybe he's more of a should roster, meaning when I say must roster, it means get him onto your team. When I say should roster, it means he should be rostered by somebody in your league. And your team in a 10-team league might be so strong that you can't fit on a top 80 guy. That's how good your team is, and that's possible. But otherwise, someone should have him. He shouldn't be sitting on any waiver-wise. He's averaging 19 points with 4 assists and over 1 steal in the last 6 games and doing it while only shooting 73% from the line. So there is actually room for improvement for Bogdan Bogdanović as we move forward. I tell a man's not hot. The dud of the night goes to CJ McCollum of the Portland Trailblazers. Now, McCollum played 39 minutes. That's obviously a lot, but wasn't a great line. 16 points is strong. That's marginally above average, but 0 threes, 1 rebound, 2 assists, no steals and a block, and then missed both his free throws and was 8 of 19 from the field. CJ is the 79th ranked player this season. Really disappointing people who drafted him in the top 3 rounds, which some people were. It was never going to be that, I didn't believe, and I don't think we should be looking at him as any sort of top 50 guy. Over the last 2 weeks, he is outside the top 150, so there's some buy-low ability there with CJ, but I don't think he's getting back to that guy who, 2 years ago was a top 30 guy. Last season, he finished outside the top 50, and I think that's what we're getting again from McCollum. The big dramatic decrease in assists, he gets no steals, his efficiency is not as great as what it has been at times in the past as well. And he's sort of struggling to find where he can provide value apart from those scoring nights. He's up and down. And I just, look, this wasn't a great night from CJ. And he's not that guy that many people, there were people who were classifying him in that Bradley Beal range to begin the season. Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, that sort of range. I never had him in that area. And we're seeing that now. And again, I more stress is to say that I don't see this as any sort of buy-low opportunity for CJ. I think this is pretty close to, maybe not this is close, but what we've seen this season is pretty close to what we expect moving forward. The plus-minus goats of the night, Yogi Ferrell, had the best net rating for the Kings, plus 100.1, while the worst net rating went to Jose Calderon, negative 116.7. Calderon will be out of the rotation once Ish Smith returns. That's still a week or so away there. He's providing absolutely nothing for fantasy. While Ferrell's getting these weird 15-minute night performances and is sticking in the rotation for God knows what reason, he's really not doing anything to further the Kings, in my opinion, although this is obviously a positive, and he's doing absolutely nothing for fantasy leagues. Injury report covering the last couple of days worth of action. Cody Zeller suffered a broken hand yesterday. That normally costs people about 4 weeks. So that means that Bill Hearn and Gomez is likely going to be the starter, but they're going to run Frank Kaminsky, Bismack Biyombo, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and Miles Bridges through there. So I wouldn't be expecting 30 minutes a game from Hearn and Gomez. You'll get some 26s, you'll get some 22s. I think he'll be in that low 20 sort of mix, which does make him a 12-team league ad. Maybe not a 10-team guy, but Hernan Gomez is that guy. While Jeremy Lamb dealing with a hamstring injury. At the moment, he's listed as doubtful for Wednesday. If he just misses one game from a hamstring injury, I think that's pretty negligent. I've said this before on this podcast, but I think NBA teams rush players back from hamstring injuries way too soon, and that's why we see a high incidence of recurrence with those injuries. If Lamb does miss more time, then a guy like Malik Monk would have some appeal, or Devontae Graham, who started the second half on Monday for that game, and both those guys have appeal. Monk more of a 12 to 14, Graham more of a 16-team league ad, who's looked really impressive, actually, over the last couple of games. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's groin has gone again. He's going to miss a week or so. He's already had groin problems this year. This surely this is an indication to you, if you have him in 12-team leagues, that you just move on and you grab someone else. I've been off him pretty much all season as a 12-team league guy, and I think this should be the impetus that you need to move on and to grab someone else in that position. While Kyrie Irving suffered a scratch across his eye, he's currently questionable for Wednesday's game. It doesn't appear too serious, but of course, if he misses any time here, Terry Rozier is the guy who gets the bump and moves into streaming territory. But it's not a long-term situation, thankfully, for Kyrie Irving and his eye issue. Let's move into these games now and talk about the five games that we did have on Tuesday across the NBA, the first day of the new year. The first one of these games that we take a look at is the Utah Jazz traveling to take on the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors win 122-116. Jay Crowder was huge, 30 points with 5 triples and 6 rebounds, but nothing else. He also shot 60% from the field and went 7 of 7 from the line. So there's a lot of flukiness in this game. Clearly, no supporting numbers leave him for those 14 teamers. Well, Derek Favors also had a big one, 21-9 with 2 blocks. He just hovers around that back-end 12-team league type of numbers, and he's solid enough there without being any sort of sexy upside type player. Don Mitchell had 19 points, while Gobert had 16-9. Yeah, sort of okay numbers, but Mitchell's shooting still a concern, while Rubio returned from a one-game absence and had 14 points and 8 assists in his return, put a pin in the Dante Exum hype. 8-3-3 for Exum, still playing much better at the moment. Dante clearly established himself as that guard off the bench, ahead of Royce O'Neal, ahead of Raul Neto, quite clearly, Grayson Allen, of course. So Exum has that maybe 16-18 team league value. Well, Joe Ingles, man, another stinker. 2 points, but at least 6 assists, 2 steals, 6 rebounds. The 0-5 shooting's disappointing. Again, it's back to buy low territory for Ingles. Throw your worst player at whoever has him, because some of them will be frustrated and some of them will be impatient, and you might be able to get Ingles for a steal. For the Raptors, Siakam had 28-10. Big night from him. 60% shooting as per usual. But the Kawhi Leonard, the fun guy.
I'm a fun guy.
45 points with 6 rebounds in the most empty line you could imagine. 0 threes, 1 assist, 0 steals, and 0 blocks. But the 73% from the field is excellent. 77 from the line is okay. It's not as good as what you would hope, but a pretty strong performance there. Fred VanVleet struggled his way through this game, 8 points with 5 assists, but as long as Kyle Lowry is out, VanVleet is a 12-team league short-term guy, while Dan Green, this is why I don't think that Dan Green is a must-roster player, 2 points in 31 minutes. He had a block, he's so up and down there, while Ibaka's going through a little bit of a cold streak, a triple one, but 3 of 10 shooting for just the 8 points. Quick note for deeper leagues, Norman Powell has replaced CJ Miles in the rotation. He had a strong game here, Powell. 14 points with 2 triples and 2 blocks. You'd recall that a couple of years ago, I was really big on Norman Powell, and he was terrible last season, but forced his way back into the rotation here, dealt with a couple of injuries already, and looks really, really strong this year. So that's a deeper league type of guy who is rostered in 0% of Yahoo League. So he's around for your 20s, your 18s. He's going to be around in a lot of those formats. So go and have a look and see if you can fit him onto your team. Next, we look at the Detroit Pistons and the Milwaukee Bucks. We had an interesting scenario here. Stanley Johnson didn't play at all in this game, and then after the game, we found out he was injured, so shout out to the Pistons for letting us know about that. He was dealing with a thigh issue. Kyrie Thomas replaced him in the rotation. Looked all right, 13 points in 20 minutes there for Kyrie, but that guard situation is such a mess. The Duck Luke Kennard had 8 points in 20 minutes. The Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark, he played 29 minutes, had 8 rebounds and 3 assists with nothing else. Missed all 7 of his shots. No one is getting consistent enough playing time to even consider them really in 14-team leagues. The guy I'd want to look the most at is Kennard, but 20 minutes just isn't going to cut it. Zaza Pachulia was out, and this game was a blowout, so the tackle box John Lua played 25 minutes. 6 points with 9 rebounds for Lua. Blocked a shot as well, but once Zaza's back, he's not going to be a regular contributor. Drummond had 15-7, while Reggie Jackson, 19 points in only 22 minutes. Of course, 8 of 10 shooting is not realistic to continue. He's still a fringe 12-teamer, while Blakey Griffin had 29-9. With those 4 assists, while Langston Galloway, is anyone more hot or cold than this guy? He'll play like 27 minutes and have 28 points, and then he has 0 points in 10 minutes. The use of him by Dwayne Casey is inconsistent as well. He's got no ability to sort of stick with a pattern on what he does with these guards, and it's pretty hard to keep up with what Casey's doing. For the Bucks, they win 121-98. Brook Lopez hit 7 triples for the second consecutive game, 25 points with 2 blocks. He has been just an unbelievable source of threes and blocks as a big man. While Yanni had 15-8-7 in only 26 minutes, had 3 blocks as well, and of course was shit from the free throw line. Eric Bledsoe, the panicker's there. This should give you a little bit of a respite. 18-4-6 on 50% shooting. Had a steal as well. I detailed this the other day about part of the reason his rank had dropped so low was a really poor shooting percentage and a lack of steals. And when they come back, everything else follows along. While Chris Middleton had 22 points and Malcolm Brogdon 13-4-5 in 26 minutes. A weird situation arose here. The Bucks tweeted out their starting lineup and it had Sterling Brown in ahead of Malcolm Brogdon. And they never deleted the tweet. They never changed it, but it was Brogdon that actually started. So I don't know what that was about. Brogdon played 26 minutes, but he came out after 4 minutes in this game and was replaced by Sterling Brown. So that was a weird scenario to me. Brown only ended up with 16 minutes, 4 points, but had the 3 steals there. Not much else to really talk about with this Bucks team. This was that much of a blowout that Jason Smith played 4 minutes. Next up on the docket, we've got the Portland Trailblazers beating the Kings 113-108. Seth Curry and Nurkic we've talked about already, but I've got to speak a little bit here about Mo Harkless, who it looks to be fully recovered from the knee injury, and I say that even though he missed last game. 33 minutes, 11-9, 2 steals and 2 blocks and 50% shooting, and over the last 3 games, he is a top 50 player because he's averaging 2.3 steals and 2 blocks, 10 points, 9 rebounds and 46% shooting, and most importantly, 34 minutes. I think that you got to look at him in 12-team leagues now, especially if you need those triple one type numbers with high percentages, a high field goal percentage. I think you got to look at Harkless. We wanted to wait for him to build his way back from that knee injury. I think we're good to go. That was a strong performance from Harkless here. Lillard had 25-6-6, while the Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu...
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
This was good. 13-8, 3 triples and 2 blocks from the Chief. He is a solid enough 12-team league player. Just real back end, though, of course. For the Kings, Budrick Hield could barely miss early on. 27 points, 5 triples, 4 assists and a block, while we talked about Bogdan already. Nemanja Bjelica, a ton of minutes for him here. 36 minutes, 14-16, and shot poorly as well, which usually when he shoots poorly, the minutes aren't there. He's too inconsistent to have as a must-roster 12-team league guy, but you can stream him in until Harry Giles returns. Not Harry Giles. That's a Freudian slip. Marvin Bagley. Harry Giles, though, stepped up today. Played 13 minutes. 6-7 with a steal and a block. Very, very active. I don't know he's going to be an every night part of this rotation. In fact, I would highly doubt it. But showed enough there that should give dynasty people and deeper league guys a little bit of a spark. But he's not going to be able to do this every night. Wasn't De'Aaron Fox's best game. 13 points on 19 shots. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. I talked a lot about how his mid-range shooting felt a little bit unsustainable, and it regressed pretty heavily in this game, but he'll be fine. Well, Willie Cauley-Stein also, that is horrible. 5 points on 14 shots. He was 2 of 14 from the field. He did have 11 boards, just doesn't block any shots at all, and that always limits him, plus the poor free throw shooting. But he's been pretty strong for most of the season, but clearly has those deficiencies which limit what he does as a fantasy basketball contributor. Next up, we've got the Knicks and the Nuggets. The Nuggets win 115-108. The Cornetto, Luke Cornett, started again, 27 minutes, 19-6 with 4 triples and a block. I think you got to grab him in 12-team leagues. I don't know what's going to happen when Mitchell Robinson returns, but every day I feel more and more like it's going to be a Cornett-Robinson front court or, you know, center rotation, and Cantor's going to be out of there. Regardless, I feel okay about adding him and seeing exactly where this goes, because that is 3 big games in a row from the Cornetto. Enes Kanter, in fact, actually had a good game here as well. 20 minutes, a double-double, 17-12. He's clearly pissed with this organization. Fair enough as well. Look, that sort of double-double in 20 minutes is not a sustainable thing for Kanter. He's a tough one to drop because we know if he gets 26 minutes, he's going to be a productive guy. But yeah, dropping him for the right guy, like dropping him for a stream of Fred VanVleet, probably not worth it. Dropping him for Tomas Satoransky, probably worth it because we're looking at a long-term situation there. Like, that's the sort of decisions that you have to make. Like, what is the odds that Kanter goes back and plays 27 a night? It's much lower than the odds of Tomas Satoransky finishing as a top 75 player. The Fort, Kevin Knox, I think he had 14 first quarter points and ended with 18, played 39 minutes, 2 triples, 4 rebounds, an assist and a steal, and as usual was inefficient and provided no numbers in those other categories. While Emmanuel Mudiay, he was like mini Russell Westbrook here, 15 points, 9 assists, 2 steals, and bad, bad percentages. The percentages are really starting to hurt a bit with Mudiay now, and that's causing his ranking to drop significantly. I still do think he's a 12-team league guy, but he's going to be inconsistent, same as Noah Vonleh, who had 5 points on 8 shots. The rebounds are the only consistent thing, I believe, with Vonleh. He had 14 here. He had a block. He does have some 12-team league value, but he's going to move back and forth in terms of where those numbers go. Well, Ntilikina had 10 points with 5 assists. A strong game from him, but we're really not rostering him anywhere outside of the deeper ones. On to the Nuggets. Nick Jokic.
pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
Yep, 19, 14, and 15. A steal, three blocks, 50% shooting. That is fantastic. While Mason Plumlee played 24 minutes because Paul Millsap is back, 8-7 with two steals. Millsap still working his way back in, just the 22 minutes, 16-9, an atrocious 4 of 10 from the line. So that could have been a much, much bigger line from Millsap. But otherwise, yeah, pretty strong performance while Gaz Harris returned.
Nice, Gary!
Only 20 minutes for Gazza, 6 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. He'll work his way back, and it should go without saying that he's a must-roster guy. Monty Morris only played 5 first half minutes, ended up with 18 second half minutes. He had 5, 3, and 4, and that's another one of those guys. We love what he's been doing, but there's a squeeze coming here, and him and Beasley are going to cop it. So if you're looking for a guy like, is it Satoransky? Do you add someone like, maybe it's Thomas Bryant? Maybe you go and add these guys who are on the come up, Derek White from San Antonio. I would add those guys over Monty Morris pretty comfortably, despite how well Morris has played. Trey Lyles, I don't know why I'm mentioning him. That was a mistake on my behalf. Juancho Hernangómez, only the 20 minutes for Juancho here. 8 points with 2 triples. I think his 12-team league days are pretty close to numbered as well, as much as I do like him. The last game of the night, the Sixers and the Clippers. The Sixers had this in hand, but the Clippers came home late. The Sixers end up winning 119-113. Joel Embiid returned from his knee soreness, 28-19 with 3 blocks. Fantastic, apart from the free throws. Well, Timothy John McConnell, 3 assists and 4 steals. He keeps accumulating those. There's hardly a better steal streamer out there with Shaq Harrison having his minutes reduced lately. So McConnell does have value and he's available in 98% of Yahoo leagues. I like what I'm seeing from Jonah Bolden. 15 minutes for Jonah, 9-6 with a block. Importantly, he played more minutes than the Moose Mike Muscala. Amir Johnson wasn't in the rotation at all, and Baby Neck Wilson Chandler was down to 27 minutes. I can see Bolden being an every night part of the rotation. Now it's just going to be 30-team leagues, 20-team leagues maybe, but he has the ability to put up some pretty nice numbers in steals and blocks and threes and rebound at an okay rate and can score not too bad as well. So he's showing flashes. It's more of a one to watch for long term though. While Jim Butler was ejected for fighting with Avery Bradley, 16-6-4 for Jimmy in his 29 minutes. I think he's a real buy low at the moment. Like, I mean, throw a guy outside the top 50 to try and get Butler. On the Clippers, Tobias Harris was plagued by foul trouble. He had 4 fouls in his first 13 minutes. 21-6 in 25 minutes in total, 3 steals, while the Rooster, Danilo Gallinari, continues to be great, 21-7. Marcin Gortat played 22 minutes because the table Montrezl Harrell got into foul trouble. Gortat was back starting, replacing Boban Marjanovic. 6-7 for Gortat in 22 minutes, while Harrell played just the 21 minutes. He still had 20-10, Montrezl, and that minutes distribution, way more of those minutes will go to Harrell than Gortat on most nights. Only 20 minutes for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I like the guy, but if Doc's going to play him 18 to 20 minutes a night, then there's no reason to hold him in 20-team leagues, depending, again, who are you adding? Is it for one game of Fred VanVleet? Is it for one game of Devontae Graham? Then probably not. But you know, with the minutes getting squeezed here out of Shai, even though he's significantly better than Avery Bradley and probably better than Patrick Beverley, it's hard to rely upon that. As for Lou Williams, 22-4-3 with 3 steals here. Bradley was shit before he was ejected. 6 points with 1 assist in those 29 minutes before that ejection. And that will wrap it up for all of the games from Tuesday's games. Yep, that's poor English, but I think you get the gist of everything. Let's look at some DFS now. The perfect lineup on DraftKings had Malik Beasley, Buddy Hield, Nemanja Bjelica. What a trio at the start there. Siakam, Jokic, Bogdanovic, Crowder, and Nurkic for a total of $399.75, and that cost $49,300. This perfect lineup here, 8 players. Only 2 American-born players on there, Malik Beasley and Jay Crowder. You got Hield from the Bahamas, and then you've got a lot of those Europeans, Bjelica, Jokic, Bogdanovic, and Nurkic, and then the Cameroonian Siakam there as well. On FanDuel, Moutier, Curry, Bogdanovic, Malik Beasley, Kawhi Leonard, Crowder, Siakam, Griffin, and Nurkic for a total of 406.3, and that costs $59,300. All right, guys, let's get into these games. 9 games for Wednesday. We're going to be looking at FanDuel pricing today. The first game we look at, the Miami Heat traveling to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Heat are favored by 6 points, and the total is 206 here. The Larry Nance role is going to be interesting. Tristan Thompson is questionable for this game, as is Rocket Rodney Hood. David Nwaba has been ruled out, as has Ante Zizic. 2 games ago, we saw the Heat take on the Cavs, and Nance was moved to the bench because he Larry Drew didn't want him to match up against Whiteside because Whiteside was too big, so he put Channing Frye in. I don't know what that means for this one. Will they start Frye again? Will Thompson come straight back into the starting lineup if he's ready to go? But in that game, we saw Nance play under 30 minutes, so that is worth mentioning. For Miami, Deion Waiters has been upgraded to questionable for this game, looking to make his season debut. So if you want to believe in revenge games, here's one for you. Although, of course, I am completely talking out of my ass because Deion Waiters will barely play, even if he sees the court at all. James Johnson is probable after missing the last game with an illness. Let's look at the point guards here. The young bull, Padawan, Colin Sexton, 5,500 for him. A strong game last time out, 31 points, of course. His ceiling is always limited by his lack of supporting numbers. If you're going to use him, it's more just going to be tournaments in the hope that he has an efficient night and he throws in a couple of assists, but they're just not commonplace for him. Matty Dellavedova, Tyler Johnson. It may be Tyler Johnson you could have a look at 4,700, but with everyone healthy, I do think, well, relatively healthy, I do think that Johnson is limited in that role. At shooting guard, Clarkson's at 5,700. I would like Clarkson at that price if Hood is out. If Hood plays, it makes him a little bit harder to use. And then you got Dwayne Wade and Alec Burks at 51 and 5,400 respectively. I'd rather take Wade at 51, who's actually averaging 27 points over his last five. That is a really, really good amount. It's a great matchup for him. Really positive for Wade here. So I think that he is a pretty strong play, much better than what Burks is. Pat McCaw also is going to be available to make his Cavs debut. I don't think he's really going to have that much of an impact. At small forward, Justice Winslow, the Miami Heat starting point guard, he's at 7,100. Now, the shots didn't fall last game. He dropped just 32 points, which isn't quite where it needs to be. But when the shots do fall, then there is value there. I still like him here, given the positive nature of this matchup, but he can be a little bit inconsistent, so bear that in mind. Hood, Osman, not really feeling those guys. Joshy Richardson's at 7,700. I think that might be a little bit too much for Richo. At power forward, Adebayo's at 4,200. No way to rely upon him. While Jimmy Johnson at 5,100. I like what Johnson was doing before his illness, but that price tag takes away a lot of the upside, a lot of the value in Johnson, so I think you can look in other directions. While Nance is at 7,400. I want nothing to do with Nance at that salary, with the potential return of Thompson, with the potential benching because of the matchup with Whiteside. It's all too confusing and all too limiting to what he can do, so I'd leave that alone. At center, Whiteside, 7,800, has never done well against Cleveland in the past, averaging 26 over the last three games. Well, not that he's never done well, but you know, historically the last couple haven't been great. For Hassan, 7,800 is not an ideal price tag for a guy that you're unsure about either. While Thompson at 7,000 in a potential return, I wouldn't want anything to do with someone who is returning from a foot injury at $7,000, who is, in my opinion, a low upside player regardless. On DraftKings, if we look at the value in this one, it's relatively similar in terms of value plays here. I like Winslow at 69, Joshy Richardson at 6,800 comes in at a stronger option, and Hassan Whiteside is significantly better on DraftKings. 6,700 is absolutely in play for him over there, and most of the other things sort of stay true. Although James Johnson at 3,900, that's pretty tough to ignore. I'd be happy to use him, assuming he's ready to go, which it looks like he is. 3,900 for a guy who was playing 27, 28 minutes a night before that illness. I think that's a relatively good a good option there for good old Jim Johnson. Next up, we've got the Dallas Mavericks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 2.5, and the total is 223 points. Cody Zeller is out, so we imagine that Bill Hernan Gomez will start. But after the last game, James Borrego said, we've got Bismack Biyombo, we've got Frank the Tank Kaminsky, we've got Miles Bridges or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist that can play at center. So don't expect 30 minutes out of Hernan Gomez. I would say low 20s is a more reasonable expectation here. That doesn't mean he's not a good play, but don't get overly excited. At point guard, with Jeremy Lamb doubtful, Devontae Graham started the second half last game. He's at 3,900. He actually had 28 points in 24 minutes in that last encounter. So he is worth looking at that low salary, while Malik Monk, who I think is an option to start as well at 4,600, he had 36 points in the last game with Lamb out. So both of those guys, Graham and Monk, I think are worth looking at. Kemba's at 9,400. Probably a little bit too expensive. I don't completely dislike it. He's been playing really well of late. That is quite expensive, though. While Dennis Smith Jr. at 5,100, I think there's some GPP upside in him. Parker and Barea, I think we'll leave them alone. Shooting guard, I touched on Monk already. Wes Matthews, no real interest there. Well, Doncic is down at $7,800. That's a $700 price drop for Doncic. So that definitely opens him back to being a play here. He's averaging 38.5 over the last five. The last couple have been a little bit quiet, but at $7,800, I think there's something there, but I wouldn't be super comfortable with using him for cash. Kid Gilchrist is at 37. I think he's a sneaky GPP guy. If he plays some center minutes, he's been blocking shots at an elevated rate. The rebounds are pretty strong. He could be a 25 or 26 point guy. I don't think he's a lock guy. He's not a first lineup guy. He's not a cash guy. But there is something there with that absence of Zala. Well, Batum at 4,500, he's not delivering, as simple as that. The pencil Harrison Barnes is at 5,900. He's giving you about 30, 32 a night over the last week or so, which is pretty strong at 5,900. We don't hate him. The scoring, though, has been strong for Barnes. That's the problem with him, though. If the scoring's not there, very little else can support his numbers. I still think at 59, he's worth looking at. While at power forward, you've got Maxi Kleber, Dirk Nowitzki, Marvin Williams. For the Dallas guys, with Dirk coming back, it squishes all their value. As for Williams at 6,000, I think that's too expensive. At center, Bill Hernangómez at 5,400. It's an aggressive price rise, 1,300, and it takes away the must roster nature of him, but he is a still pretty strong option for cash. And with some tournament upside, it's all going to come down to minutes there. Well, DeAndre Jordan comes in at 6,700. His recent numbers haven't quite been at that level, but I think in this matchup, he can get there at that sort of a price tag. So I think he's worth looking at without looking at him as a lock guy. Biombo and Kaminsky, I'm not super into those guys. On DraftKings, Hernangómez at 3,800. Now, that is a really, really strong play. We've got to love that. Malik Monk at 36 is also really, really, really looking good over there. Devontae Graham comes in as an option over on DraftKings as well at 3,400. Marvin Williams, Dennis Smith, more GPPs. Marvin a lot more tolerable at 5,100 over there. Well, Kemba at 9,000. Still okay, but there are better options that you can find over on DraftKings for Kemba Walker. So let's have a look at the next game, which is the Atlanta Hawks taking on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are 5-point favorites. The total is 229. Otto Porter has been upgraded to probable in this one, so that means he probably will be back. Of course, we know Kent Bazemore and the artist formerly known as Taurean Prince are also out. At point guard, Jeremy Lin's at 4,600. He hasn't been at that level lately, but I think he's got 35-point upside here as a GPP guy playing some extra minutes with those injuries in the backcourt. We had Daniel Hamilton start last game, and he's a chance to do that again, but it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be playing significant minutes or be a real value guy. It's going to be guys like Bembry, Huerter, and Lynn that could have that option. Satoransky at 6,200, that's an aggressive price bump, $2,400 up on FanDuel. That takes away the appeal of him to me. He could be there. The matchup's great for him. But there's a real element of risk put into that at that elevated price tag for Satoransky. Trae Young, who is on fire at the moment, his lowest score in his last five has been 29.5. That's strong. At 7,100, it's okay. It's pretty strong. Point guards have done well against the Wizards in the past. 7,100 is all right for Trae, but it's probably on FanDuel more of a GPP look. Brad Beal at 98, that is an aggressive price bump as well, but he is going to be carrying this offense. I really don't hate that. I think that there is clear 50-point potential here for Beal in a great matchup. While Huerter at 4,600, he had 26 in 40 minutes the last game with all those wing injuries. I think that he can exceed 25 again. He is an option. Dan Hamilton, Jason Randall, Justin Anderson, that's all no's from me. 5,500 for DeAndre Bembry. He had 26 last game. That's a pretty strong performance, but it's not elite. I think that he is probably one that I would leave alone. I think his floor's too low and his ceiling's too low, and that's a bad combination for cash and tournaments. Well, Trevor Ariza is at 6,600, a big 42-pointer from Ariza last game. He is relatively inconsistent, but I think at 6,600 you can extract some sort of value. Jeffy Green at 56.
My name is Jeff.
With Otto Porter likely back, I think Green is a fade. And as for Porter at 65, I think limited minutes will be the story of the day there. At power forward, the Baptist, John Collins, 8,400. Also should mention that Markieff Morris likely out of this one for the Wizards. At power forward, Johnny Collins, 8,400. He's dealing with an illness. That is a very expensive price tag paired with the illness. I don't think that I would use Collins at that salary. Then at center, Tom Bryant, 6,600. Without Markieff, it does boost his value pretty significantly. He had 41 in 36 minutes last game. 66 is a very, very high price tag, though. So I'm not super sold on him at that salary. More for tournaments than for cash, but it's a big positive matchup, a great matchup, and he's got the ability or the opportunity there with Morris out to put up some numbers. For the Hawks, the Undertaker, Dwayne Dedman, is questionable. If he is out, then Alex Len at 5,200 is a pretty locky cash guy. As for Dedman at 65, he'd been putting up numbers around that level before the injury. So I think he would be worth considering without being a lock guy, but he would have some value. But the one we'd want to watch there, of course, is if Undertaker is out, we'd get some value there on Len. On DraftKings, there's tons here. I like Young, Ariza, Beal, Satoransky, Bryant at all their prices. I think Bembry is a nice GPP guy. I think Collins is still priced too high, and Herder at 44 is okay, but there are many, many more options over on DraftKings that do come in looking considerably better. So some other guys that you can pay attention to rather than looking at the Baptist Johnny Collins. All right, let's look at this next game that we're all ready to look at. It is the Brooklyn Nets and the New Orleans Pelicans. The spread for this one at the moment is even, and the total is 230.5. Davis is likely back after missing last game with that stomach illness. He's got a massive opportunity against a Brooklyn front court that does allow a lot of points to centers. The Nets last game, they rested D'Angelo Russell and Ed Davis, so that meant that we got minutes from Theo Pinson and Ken Fareed and big minutes for guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and Damari Carroll. All that's going to be squished in when both Russell and Davis returning in this game. Let's look at the point guards here. We've got Dinwiddie's at 6,800. Actually, he didn't put up a huge game in that last one with Russell out, because they did get flogged in that one. 6,800 is okay for Spence. I wouldn't say it's a must roster one. While Alfred Payton is back, one game back for the Pelicans. He's at 5,600 just for tournaments as he gets himself worked back in. The guy who really benefited, and I misspoke before, from the absence of Russell was Shabazz Napier. He dropped 49 FanDuel points at minimum salary. He's going to find it hard to get anywhere near that same sort of role in this game. Now, it helps that Alan Crabb is out, so he might get some playing time, but he won't likely put anywhere near up that sort of level, and 20 points is probably even pushing it for Shabazz. So I think that he might be a weird tournament guy, but that's about it. As for D'Angelo Russell at 7,000, his last game before his rest yielded 42 points. It's a positive matchup for D'Angelo. I don't have confidence in him playing in fourth quarter, so that would leave him as a tournament guy. Well, Drew Holiday, just a mark of consistency, 8,600, no reason that you can't use him. Smokin' Joe Harris at 48, hasn't quite been at that level. Damari Carroll, Jared Dudley, Etuan Moore. None of those guys massively stand out, especially with Damari being elevated to a $5,100 player. At power forward, Tone Davis at 12.7. We know what he does when he plays. It's a 60-plus point performance. And this matchup is so positive that it is hard to leave him go. But many people are going to feel burnt by him from what happened on New Year's Eve. And I think that means his roster percentage is going to dip way down. And that might give you a real edge in using Davis. I'd be happy to go against that. Well, Rowdy Rodion's Kuroks at 4,800. The numbers have been disappointing of late. So the salary has dropped significantly. And that puts him back in play. A positive matchup for Kuroks, no Crab, more just tournaments because I don't know how that Napier-Kuroks minutes distribution is going to go, but he is worth looking at, no doubt. At center, Jarrett Allen has been very disappointing. I would fade him here. Well, Julius Randle with Mirotic out again, 8,500 for Randle. He's giving you 40 a night pretty comfortably. I think he is in play, not the best option, of course. Over on the next one, we've got DraftKings, Damari Carroll at 4,000. I actually like that quite a bit. He's averaging 22 over his last five and 28 over his last three. Obviously, they're really both key and impressive numbers there. So, he's obviously an option to use. Tone Davis at 11.8 is excellent. Eddie Davis at 34 coming back. He'd been averaging almost 20 points per game over the last five, so not a terrible low volume or low cash guy to put in to try and build some other high price guys around it. Well, Jarrett Allen is a lot more favorable on DraftKings at 5,100 as opposed to the price tag that he comes in at over on FanDuel. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Detroit Pistons on a back-to-back, traveling to take on the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are favored by 6. The total is a very, very pedestrian, 199. The Pistons got spanked by the Bucks in today's game, so a lot of their guys are fresh because they didn't have to play the whole game. And Stan Johnson was apparently injured due to a thigh contusion and didn't play on Tuesday. Nice of the Pistons to let us know that after the game and not before the game when he wasn't ready to play. Injury-wise for the Grizzlies, everything looks okay with the exception of Chandler Parsons, while Zaza Pachulia unlikely to go for Detroit. At point guard, Mick Conley, 8,700. It's expensive, but his floor is high. That makes him a good cash guy. I think his ceiling's decent, 55-point upside. I think he's strong in both formats. Reggie Jackson at 54. The lower pace would make me steer away from a lot of guys in this game. The Shark, Bruce Brown. Baby Shark. He is a minimum salary player. He played 30 minutes today. He had 14 points, but he did play 30 minutes, so that is encouraging. I guess some of that's to do with Stan Johnson's absence. I think the Shark is just a GPP guy. Dylan Brooks at minimum salary, still working his way back. Bullock, Temple, Kennard, the Duck, Langston Galloway, none of these shooting guards should be getting you interested at all. Kyle Anderson at 6,300 should be. He had 41 points on a career-high 20 points from the field. 41 points is a lot, obviously, at 6,300, but expecting him to have that sort of offensive explosion again is probably trusting fool's gold. I do like Anderson. I just think the 6,300 is probably a little bit too expensive. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. is at 5,800 for him. Obviously, extreme foul trouble last game, just 9 points in 13 minutes. Combine that with Dickery in the coaching staff in limiting his minutes, it makes it hard to trust him, and if it is, it's just for GPPs. Well, Jermichael Green's at 47, and he's as up and down in production as well. He had 32 last game, but still just averaging 21 over the last, so that shows you how terrible his other couple of games were before that. Blakey Griffin's at 8,800. The only concern I have with Griffin here is limited minutes due to the back-to-back. Do they rest him? He has done very well against the Grizzlies in the past. At 8,800, I don't completely hate him if you're just looking for a high-scoring type of a guy, but the value isn't necessarily great. At center, I do like Marc Gasol. 8,700, 40-point is a relative decent expectation here. While Drummo at 9,500, I'll take Gasol over Drummond in this one for that $800 saving. And I think I'd feel pretty good about it. I guess we'll see how that all pans out as usual. For looking at this one over on DraftKings, you've got Gasol, Conley, Kyle Anderson at 5,100. Looks a lot better. Drummond, Griffin, they're all cash targets. I think Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr. is more just your tournament guy. He comes in at $5,000, which is an okay price. But again, it's all just going to be really dependent on how Bickerstaff, whether Bickerstaff wants to win. Maybe that's more of an accurate statement in terms of, is he willing to put his best players out there, or are willing to play guys who are worse? The next game we look at, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Boston Celtics, no spread or no total. Kyrie Irving is questionable. He's dealing with an eye issue. Derrick Rose is doubtful, while also for Minnesota, Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
And Bob Covington are both questionable. Covington dealing with an ankle injury. Teague also dealing with that ankle problem that's kept him out for a significant amount of time. Of course, if Teague is out, it's going to be all systems go on Tyus Jones. If Covington is out, what are they going to do? James Nunnally? It's going to be Josh Okogie who comes in there, but then, man, their backup wing situation is dire. There is nobody there. Maybe it's Nunnally, maybe it's CJ Williams. Do they dust off Luol Deng? You're going to get 40 minutes out of Wiggins probably, and probably 40 minutes out of Okogie if Covington happens to be out. At point guard, Kyrie is at $9,000. Point guards have had a hard time against the Timberwolves this season, so that's worth noting. Dealing also with the eye injury, I'm not super into it, but of course, if Kyrie is out, then Terry Rozier gets that significant bump. On the Minnesota side, Teague is at 66. I wouldn't want to use him at that salary on the way back. While Tyus Jones up to 6,300. Now, it should go without saying that if Teague plays, we don't play Jones. But if Tyus is ready to go, sorry, if Teague is out and Tyus starts, which is what will happen, he had 40 points last game. I think some of what he's doing is a little bit unsustainable, especially the usage. And at 6,300, it does introduce a significant element of risk in trying to get numbers out of him. I don't hate it. He can get steals. He can get assists. I think there probably will be better point guard options out there than Tyus, even if Teague is out. At shooting guard, Marcus Smart's at 47. The numbers have been a little bit limited, but I would use him if Kyrie is sidelined. While Wiggins at 6,400. I think if you get Covington out, I think you have to use Wiggins. Now, we know he's been terrible. He's still averaging 30 over the last five, though, so there is some DFS value there. And if Covington's out, it just means more minutes for Wiggins, and hopefully he can turn that into something. As for Okogie at 3,900, he'd become a pretty strong cash guy if Covington is sidelined. Jaylen Brown had 44 last game for the Celtics. He's up to 4,500. He's been nowhere near that level all season. Really just a GPP player. At small forward, Covington at 66. And dealing with an ankle injury, I'm a little bit cautious about going with him. For the power forwards, Taj Gibson, Daniel Tice, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Dario Saric. There's a group of them, that's for sure, but none of them really stand out. Tatum at 67 would be the only guy there with massive upside, and it is a super positive matchup for Tates. So I'd look at him as a GPP guy. Marcus Morris at 55. Actually, don't mind Morris at 55. That's a pretty solid price for a cash scenario. Those Šarić and Gibson, I can't trust what they're going to do at all. Carl Anthony Towns at center, 10,500. He is lazily averaging 77 over the last three. He has had troubles with Horford and the Celtics before, averaging just 44 in the last three contests in 39 minutes. And at 10,500, you want a lot more than that. I think the Towns is worth looking at. They're running things through him. His passing has been fantastic. His defense has been improved. I really like Towns here as a 50-point guy, while Al Horford's at 5,900, still working his way back from that knee injury, and I think that means we'll leave him alone. On DraftKings, Townsie at 9.6 is really, really strong. Gordo Hayward at 48, I think, is an interesting tournament pool guy. And Jeff Teague, even at 5,800. Tibbs could be an insane man. Sorry, Tibbs is an insane man, so he could run him out there 34 minutes coming back from that ankle injury. So that would make him tournament, but really tournament only. And then the same sort of situation. Okogie and Wiggins get that bump if Covington happens to be out of this game. Next up, we look at the Orlando Magic and the Chicago Bulls. No spread or total here because Nick Vucevic is dealing with a calf injury. DJ Augustin also dealing with an ankle problem, while John Simmons is doubtful with his own ankle injury. And if anyone cares, Robin Lopez has a hip strain. He is listed as probable. At point guard, DJ Augustin is crushing it, averaging 39 over the last three, but had to miss last game with an ankle injury. At $5,000, I actually like DJ quite a bit here, assuming he plays. But there is a risk with a guy coming off an ankle injury. While Chris Dunn, that's just too high. Now, I like what Dunn's doing. Yeah, lowest score in his last five is 32, but 7,800, I don't like that at all. Big Shaq Harrison.
Big Shaq.
Yeah, probably not for him. And Archie Jackson at 37 will fade those guys. Now, of course, if Augustin's out, it means Isaiah Briscoe and Jaren Grant get the ball. Grant's at 3,600. He had 22 points last game in 26 minutes. I'll take that. And that has value in the FanDuel scoring system. 5,600 for Justin Holiday. I feel like that's a fair price. Cash value, maybe a bit of tournament upside. Well, Fournier and Levine, I think they're both priced a little bit too high. 54 for Fournier, 76 for Levine, who was putrid last game, just the 19 points. I think if you're going to use Fournier, it's really just for tournaments, and his numbers have been well down, and I think Levine's probably a fade here. Small forward, Johnny Isaac, not interested in him. Awundu, Hutchison, same. And at power forward, the Block Panther, Wendell Carter Jr., 6,500, stayed on the court the last couple of games, averaging 30 minutes and giving you 34 points. But 6,500 is a super aggressive price rise, despite how positive this matchup is, and I think I would leave him out of it. Big men against the Bulls is always a positive. So Aaron Gordon at 7,400 is worth looking at, but he's doing nothing. Yeah, can he come out and have 38? That's what he really needs to get to, and I'm not sure that he can. So I think that he's probably one to leave, while Lauri Markkanen comes in at the same price. And again, I think that's probably too high for Lowry. At center, we're looking at Vooch to really dominate these Bulls if he's ready to play. At 9,800, he's got 50 points written all over for Vucevic. He's averaging 50 the last three times these teams have met. And if he is out, you got Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
At 4,100, he would become one of the most lock cash plays of the day. On DraftKings, Levine, much more palatable. 5,700 for him is a really decent price tag, and I think that you can absolutely use Zach in this one on DraftKings just because of that really, really low price tag. I think Augustin at 43 looks great. Holiday at 48 looks pretty strong as well. Chris Dunn, again, much more manageable at 64. And of course, we love Vooch at that $9,400 price tag. The next game that we take a look at, we've got the Phoenix Suns hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are on a back-to-back. There's no spread or no total here. Joel Embiid's got a massive opportunity to feast against DeAndre Ayton here. Now, Embiid is playing on Tuesday. It is a back-to-back after he missed that game with knee soreness. No indication that he's going to rest, but it is something to bear in mind here with Joel. Do they limit his minutes? Do they sit him entirely? I think there is a real possibility of that here, as much as we hope that it doesn't. At point guard, D'Anthony Melton at 4,400. His numbers are up. 27 minutes, 29 points last game at 4,400. Absolutely think he's a GPP guy. Well, Benny Simmons at 95. He's done very well against Phoenix in the past, and no reason to think he can't go for 50 again. If Embiid is out, I'd be all about Simmons in this one. At this point, I'm probably a little bit more on the fence. Timothy John McConnell, Landry Shamet. Yeah, McConnell at 43. He's giving you a 24-25, which is okay. I'm not super into it, though. JJ Redick's at 52. Solid floor, limited upside maybe for cash. Well, Devin Booker at 86. I love what Booker's doing. Nearly every night, 40 points. 8,600, pretty good opportunity for him. Well, Jim Butler, general soreness at 8,000. Really not getting to that level, and I think he's a fade. Baby Necks at 4,000, Wilson Chandler, that's a no for me. While McCall Bridges at 4,400, he had 22 last time against his former hometown team. He gets to host them now in his new hometown. At 4,400, I think he is more for GPPs, because if he racks up those defensive numbers, the numbers look pretty big. Tony Warren Jr. is at 7,100. I like that as a cash play. He had 38 last game. Great opportunity again here. At power forward, Josh Jackson is putrid. He had 1 point last game. He's at 3,800. If you want to get wild, throw him into a tournament. I do not want to get wild. Well, Rashawn Holmes missed last game for the Suns. He's against his former team as well. Had 18 points in 21 minutes last time out. Missed that game with an illness. He looks like he's ready to go. Not on the injury report. 3,900. It would just be for GPPs though, because with the way Ayton's playing, he's just not going to get enough playing time. On to Ayton at 7,900. He had 30 points in 27 minutes the first time against Embiid. If Embiid is out, I think we look at Ayton at 7,900. If Embiid plays, it does really put the pressure on DeAndre foul-wise defensively, and that could limit him at that elevated price. I think I'd fade Ayton if Embiid is out. If Embiid is out, I think Ayton definitely comes more into play. The Moose, Mike Muscala at 36, is only really an option if Joel sits out. Over on DraftKings, Melton I love at 36. I think Embiid at 10-6 is that risk that I talked about. Simmons looks pretty good, as does Booker, and the same situation applies for Ayton at his 7,300 price tag over on the old DraftKings. All right, the last game of the night for Wednesday will be the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. We have got, what's the spread here? The Thunder are 5.5-point favorites. The total is 230. There is no LeBron James again with that groin injury. Point guard-wise, Rondo's out, of course. Lonzo Ball's at 6,500, more just a tournament guy here at this spot, especially against the number one defense in the NBA, while Russell Westbrook at 12,000 actually hit some shots on New Year's Eve, dropped 69 points.
Giggity!
And that's what happens. The other numbers he's been putting up have been excellent, just the shots haven't been falling. So I think he's more of a GPP guy here than anything. At shooting guard, with Alex Abrines out, Dennis Schroeder at 5,100, I think he's a strong value play, while Kentavious Caldwell-Pope stepped up in LeBron's absence. And at 3,800, no reason he can't be an option to look at there. And even if he gets you 23 or 24 points, he still breaks value pretty comfortably. Josh the Hitman Hart is up to 6,500. That is a massively aggressive price rise, 2,800, so I would stay very far away from that. While the Thunder shooting guards, Terry Ferguson, Hamidou Diallo, that's a big no. Lance Stephenson, no thank you. While Paul George at 10,000 is pretty high, but his lowest score in his last five is 40. That's a strong floor. His highest score is 84. That's obviously massive. I think he's pretty safe here. While Ingram at 6,800 really exploded, and they bumped his salary not one single dollar. So that's impressive. While Josh Hart goes up 28, Ingram stays the same. So that gives him an element of value here. I think he is a pretty strong option to use, to be honest. That power forward, the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma's at 7,400. I think upside's limited, but a floor is relatively safe, so that's good for cash. Well, Jeremy Grant at 5,800. Again, pretty limited upside as well. And yeah, he's okay. Not a bad cash play, but they're probably better ones out there. At center, JaVale McGee's at 57. Came back, played 24 minutes, and had 32 points in his return from pneumonia. I do like him, and I do like Steven Adams at 7,000. I think both of those guys are in play. I prefer McGee over Adams in tournaments. With McGee back, that limited, of course, Ivica Zubac's value. In fact, he did not play a single minute last game. He might play in this one as he goes up. They go up against Steve Adams, but it won't be enough to really have any sort of DFS impact. On DraftKings, McGee is an interesting tournament guy over there. Paul George and Westbrook, some good cash options, as is Schroeder at 54. And KCP at 3,900 also looks pretty good. Let's wrap it up with some studs and values. On DraftKings, my stud is Bradles Beal, and my value is Bill Hernan Gomez. On FanDuel, my stud is Tone Davis, and my value is Schroeder. On Yahoo, my stud is Beal, and my value play is Bill Hernan Gomez. And on DraftStars, my stud is Beal, and my value is Devontae Graham. Almost got you. He's at 5,400. So that'll wrap it up for another podcast, the first in 2019 for the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. If you like the show, go leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, and on Spotify. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeball, and follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Twitter and on Instagram at @LockedOnNBAnet. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Dennis Smith Jr.